From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. So this past Thursday was International Women's Day. One of the themes that stood out for me was not only that women are excluded or underrepresented in many sectors, but that even when women are there, they often don't get credit for the work that they're doing. Science is apparently no exception. A new survey of the authorship of studies published in the most prestigious scientific journals finds that women are severely underrepresented. Ione Fine is professor of psychology at the University of Washington and senior author on that study. Ione, is this really the first time that anybody has looked at the representation of women in top scientific publications?
So there was a very small study very recently, actually, where somebody looked at a three-month period in Nature Neuroscience 10 years ago and, about a year ago. And so they compared those three-month periods in that single journal, and they got exactly the same results as we do, which is reassuring. But no, we're the first people to do it because the authors don't collect gender information. So it was the clever trick of Alicia to link those names to a gender database that allowed us to just do this research.
So talk about how you actually did this. I mean, you looked at the first and last authors on over 166,000 articles published between 2005 and 2017, but that's a lot of names to go through. And as you were just alluding to, you didn't do this by hand. How did you actually pick out the gender of those authors?
So what we did is, this is, you know, a classic example of data mining, is we pull out the author's name and we compare that to another database, which also has many thousand names, and it has a probability for each name of it being male or female. And we excluded any names for which we weren't reasonably positive that it was male or female, and that was about 5% of the names. There are some cultures where names aren't gendered. And so the other is we basically assign it to that gender based on that probability, which when you have numbers like this should all work out in the wash. And so that's what allowed us to basically do this breakdown.
And why would you look only at the first and last authors when publications these days can have not just a handful, but in some cases dozens of scientists working together on a study and therefore dozens of authors on the paper?
So the naming of neuroscience journals is very arcane. So the first author is almost always the person who did the most of the work, who's seen as kind of the junior researcher who really pushed this project along. And the last author is almost always the senior investigator, the person whose lab it happened in, you know, the person whose overall research plan this project was a part of. The positions of middle authors mean different things in different, depending on the paper, and can represent very different amounts of work. So it's very different. Would be very difficult to interpret that. There is another study that has shown that basically, compared to the amount of couple of studies that together suggest that compared to the amount of work that they do, women often get put in the middle author position, which is less prestigious. So essentially, they're not getting those prestigious first author and last author positions. They're getting dumped in the middle. But yeah, it would be very interesting to sort of break down our data some other ways as well, now that we know how to do it.
Well, let's look at what you did find with this analysis. How severely underrepresented are women in those first and last authorship positions, those prestige positions on these scientific studies?
Yeah, we were surprised by it because, you know, the journals have kind of never admitted to having a problem. And I don't know if they don't know they have a problem or they're just not admitting to have a problem. But when you compare the number of women last authors to the number of NIHR01s, and these are the most competitive grants out there, they're the big research grants, they go to the people who are doing cutting edge, important research, which, you know, which sometimes should lead to a Nature article, 30% of those grants now go to women, but still we're seeing 15% of Nature and Science articles going to women. And that those numbers don't get much better for the other major journals. So there's a massive disconnect between these two measures of women's contributions to science.
I'm talking with Ione Fine of University of Washington about her research on the underrepresentation of women scientists in top-tier publications. The question then seems to be, where does that disconnect happen? Is it, a psychological issue that women aren't putting themselves forward, aren't submitting their work to these top-tier journals? Is it that colleagues aren't valuing their contributions? And as you mentioned, they're kind of getting stuck in the middle of the authorship list instead of on either end in these positions of prestige? Or is it somewhere in the peer review and publication process that there's some inherent discrimination against these female authors? Do we have any idea where the breakdown happens?
Yes, probably all of these places. So the answer is yes. Women are less likely to have these first author and last author positions. Studies show that. Other studies show that women have massive biases against women in the academic review process. There was a study about Swedish postdoctoral fellowships. And this is Sweden, right? They're meant to be leaders. And it showed that women had to be twice as productive as men to be rated as similarly competent. And these sorts of biases tend to be very strong when you're talking about things like brilliance. There is probably bias in the editorial process. We know that Nature has actually kind of admitted that they are less likely to ask women for commissioned pieces and be reviewers. They're working on that very hard. But so that implies that there's some bias, implicit bias at the editorial level. There may be women authors may tend to be less aggressive with editors when there are disagreements among the reviewers. And then finally, you can kind of have a circle. When you decide whether to publish and to submit to a high-profile journal, you know you have a very low chance of success. If women correctly perceive that their chances of success are lower than men's, or even incorrectly, if they perceive their chances of success as being lower than men, it doesn't make sense for them to submit. You only submit if you think you have a decent chance of getting in. And so we do see lower submission rates with women, but I think that reflects the fact that women see this as a tougher process than men do.
While we are talking about the representation of women authors in prestigious journals, we should mention that this study of yours right now is posted on a site called BioArchive, which is a place where you can put studies that haven't actually been through the peer review and publication process yet. Should we be concerned about that? I mean, what are the possible pitfalls in the research that you've done?
So I was concerned about that. I've never published on BioArchive before. It's been a really interesting experience. So one thing we did do is we got two experts in R because we knew that people would be scrutinizing the study or suspected. We got two experts in R to go through all our code line by line in a formal code review. These were code review experts. So we're pretty sure the code is good. The discussion, that's something that it wasn't through peer review, and people are welcome to disagree with us on that. The comment process on BioArchive has been really interesting. Someone said, well, maybe it's just that Nature and Science publish fewer articles in areas where women cluster. And he obviously saw this as an explanation that was acceptable, whereas my response was, well, why are they not representing, science evenly? Why are they avoiding these disciplines where women are there? If that is the case, I would consider that bias. But it's interesting to see that this discussion is already kind of going online, and I think it's an important discussion to have.
And not only that discussion, but perhaps more investigations into this issue, because you focused specifically on the field of neuroscience, your own specialty, but you have made the computer code that you use to do this analysis available publicly. So are others planning or already doing similar analyses in other scientific fields?
Yeah, I got an email actually even before the Nature letter came out with someone saying, yeah, I'm going to do this in my field. The other thing I hope that this letter will do is it will really light a fire for these journals. Having a process that provides a service that is essentially probably quite discriminatory is a real problem, and these are multi-million-dollar industries. They should be feeling worried about this. They should take it very seriously.
Ione Fine is a professor of psychology at the University of Washington and senior author on a new study showing that women scientists are underrepresented in top-tier scientific journals. Ione, thanks so much.
Thanks for talking to me.